Hello everyone, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Design for Victory podcast. So I want to begin. We're going to be talking about the angelic. This is day 253 on the Book of Mysteries, and if you have the book, you can read along with me when I read the devotional. And study the original scriptures, but as the Holy Spirit of God leads, I'm going to be adding some additional scriptures to this. The Holy Spirit, as of late, has been having me hone in on the Book of Mysteries and some of the things that Jonathan Cahn, some of the devotionals that he wrote in that book, because the Spirit of the Lord wants me to both study myself and learn myself and communicate to the larger body of Christ what God, you know, what is being communicated in a different way, probably that other people could be able to understand it, I guess you could say. But anyway, so back in 2021, Lance Wallnau visited Oasis Church, and he talked about, and this is some of the things that I'm going to be talking about today. He talked about how God is looking for, God elected Donald Trump. If you look at the book of Isaiah, you'll see how, how God prophesied the reign of Cyrus, and God said, I will make the crooked places straight for you. You know, I'll give you the treasures of darkness, things like that. And you can check that out in Isaiah 45. I want us to pray right quick. And I'll be praying somewhat out of John 17. I'll just begin by reading this passage, and then praying as I feel the Spirit of the Lord leading. I'm going to start in verse 6 of John 17, and on verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes. Spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And I can even sense as I read this that our Lord is praying this now before the courts of heaven. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. I felt like he was saying something, but I couldn't hear clearly. Anyway, verse 7. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And also, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I felt those words highlighted. Thank you, Lord. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep to your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You have sent me into the world. I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, and that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. I felt from the Lord as I was listening to the reading this, I meant that this is always a reminder before the courts of heaven, that I felt like the Lord Jesus was saying he was praying this afresh as a reminder before the courts of heaven, saying, you know, let this be brought as evidence afresh before the courts of heaven. And I want to read our scripture to you before we officially pray. And it's John 16. Maybe it's John 14. Let's see. I hadn't thought of this in a while, so I didn't think to look it up beforehand. All right. Yeah. John 13, verses 34 to 35. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Father, I thank you And I've even, as I was praying, I've even heard the taunts of the enemy. You know, I heard folks, I had a dream, had some weird dreams. If I were to try to explain what they were, I wouldn't be able to adequately. But there was really, you know, enemy was trespassing in my dreams, if you will. You know, no reason for me. But I asked that they would be admitted in the courts of heaven just in case the enemy was trying to overplay his hand and give, you know, show his hand as to what he was going to do before he did it. Sure enough, as I was praying, as I was reading John 17, you know, I felt the I heard the taunting of the enemy saying something to the effect that the Transgender Visibility Day was only the beginning concerning Easter. Father, I thank you that you are raising up a standard. It's going to begin in the church. Father, it's going to begin in the house of God. For it is written in your word, you inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, the Apostle Peter, to write, judgment begins in the house of God. If the righteous are scarcely saved, what shall be the fate of those who do not obey the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ? Father God, I thank you that you spoke through your servant, Pastor Alphonse, on Easter Sunday, Father God, in fact, Resurrection Sunday, that the ecclesia is not just simply a legislative assembly, but we are a state. We are, excuse me, you know, the kingdom of heaven is a state. We are, this thing that's going on, they are enemies of the state. And so, Lord, right now, as a representative of the kingdom of God, I declare war on the enemy. In fact, I was reminded today of a video on this channel called What Is Really Happening. And it was talking about transhumanism. And they talked about the transgender agenda and how that was one of the many ways that the elites attempt to dehumanize, you know, to get the humans to get us humans to agree to our own destruction. And I declare war on that agenda. And I declare that they are enemies, just as the elites attempt to declare Christianity as enemies of the state. I declare that those that are apart of this dehumanization agenda are on a list in the courts of heaven, and their destruction, their judgment is imminent. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we as the church are going to arise. I'm not just talking about the remnant. I'm not just talking about those, but I declare in the name of Jesus that even the lukewarm believers are going to get so sick and tired of the culture around them. They're going to get so sick and tired of what they're hearing, that they're going to be like, you know what? I'm tired of being lukewarm. I'm a part of the problem. I'm going to get hot for Christ. I'm not going to get cold. I'm going to get hot for Christ. I'm going to get into the Word of God. Father, I just ask for the cleansing of the Holy Spirit of God. That, Lord, you know, I just right now, I feel led from the Spirit of God to do this. Father, Jeremiah Johnson posted a sermon clip. I think it was more a clip than anything, but it was 24 minutes talking yesterday about how you are cleansing your temple. So, Lord, I just thank you, Father. Give me the ability to preach this, Father. Let me turn this. It is written in Zechariah chapter 3, and it's called the vision of the high priest. It says, then he, let's back up, vision of the measuring line. Then I raised my hands and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length. And there was an angel who talked with me, going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him, who said to him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. I declare in the name of Jesus, as I feel inspired by the Spirit of God, that the heavenly Jerusalem, God, you are a wall of fire around her, and you shall be the glory in her midst, in the midst of the church, in the midst of the holy city, the heavenly city of Jerusalem, Father God. Not the, I believe you're a wall of fire around the natural Jerusalem as well, but I believe that you are a wall of fire, as I feel from you to speak, around even the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, Father God, that John, that the Apostle John sees, and we're going to read this in a little bit, coming down out of heaven, the bride adorned, making herself ready. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, there are many that, whether they're ministers or lay people, that if you were to come back and get the bride, you would not be able to get them. But Father, I ask, I thank you, Father God, that even as it is said about the prodigals, Lord, in Psalm 49, that you contend with those who contend with us. That Father God, may you contend with those who contend with the parents or with whoever's praying for them, Lord, that they would just have such a fire underneath their feet that they'd be like, that Lord, you would rescue them out of the mire of lukewarmness. Those that are lukewarm. And those that are on the verge of not of being left behind when you come to pick up your bride. That Lord, you would rescue them out of that pit, just as you did with me and just as you do with many others. And that Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, you would light their heart on fire for you to be a part of this end time warrior bride. They would not be a part of the harlot bride, which you have shown Jeremiah Johnson and others, and even in the scriptures, but they would be a part, O Lord of hosts, O God of heaven's armies, that they would be a part of the end time warrior bride that is ready to volunteer in the day of your power, Father. I decree the word of the Lord as it is written in Zechariah 3. Then he showed me the high priest Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before me, saying, Take away the filthy garment from him. And to him he said, See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, Let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, If you walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Behold, O Joshua the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant the branch. Behold the one who and that I have laid before Joshua upon, or maybe it's stone anyway, the one are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscriptions, says the Lord of hosts, it may be stone, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. Unlike the Old Testament, we have a high priest, a great high priest who can sympathize with our feelings, who is greater than those of the Levitical priesthood, namely Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who sits at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. I believe in this day that as the Lord has directed me to this, I believe this is talking in our day about the priests, namely the leadership. We're all supposed to be priests, a holy priesthood. But when the Lord, and I've kind of adopted in some ways this philosophy, when the Lord spoke to Jeremiah Johnson about the priesthood being cleansed, he was talking about the fivefold leaders, the ministers, the leaders in the body of Christ. Today is a day. I can sense right now in the courts of heaven, today is a day that God wants to cleanse the leaders. I even heard, I'm going to turn before we get started, but today is a day that God wants to, even hireling pastors that have been preaching doctrines of demons, and preaching things that God has not ordained. They have not been in the counsel of the Lord. They have not sought the face of God, things like that. He even wants to redeem them. Of course, they'll have to do it with the right motives. They can't continue to do it just for money or whatever reason they got into ministry for. But if they're willing, he'll use them. So, Father, I just thank you once again. I thank you for giving me the ability to articulate the Word of God. No rambling, just the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. As the holy men of old who wrote the Scriptures, not saying that this teaching is just as, or that this teaching is infallible, but that Lord, you would inspire my lips just as you did the holy men of old who wrote the Scriptures, Lord, to be able to articulate the Word of God, Father God, in the way that you want it to be articulated, in Jesus' name, the way you want it to be taught. Amen. And again, I'm not saying that this teaching is infallible, but that's my way of saying, I just felt from the Lord to say that that's my way of saying, Lord, help me to get out of the way. I want Christ and Him crucified to be glorified. That's all I want. So let's take a look at John 10. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his sheep, or his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by them and by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now I'm going to stop there at verse 15. The Lord said, there are some hirelings who are listening to this, who, when tragedy came and things like that, when the wolf came, they shut their church down. And this is just I may be explaining it poorly, but this is kind of the sense I'm getting. You know, and their sheep scattered. But the Lord says that, he says, if you will lean on me, I will give you a do-over, and I will even refound the church that you shut down, says the Lord. And he said, the same sheep won't be there. But he said but now is the time. You got to check your motives. You have to check your intentions. And you got to repent for entering into ministry with wrong motives. Just for money or whatever the reason is that you entered into the ministry to begin with. He said, and I'm sensing, I'll just say it this way, I'm sensing that there are some who entered into ministry for the wrong reasons, but in reality they were called into ministry. But they got into ministry for the wrong reasons. There are some who were preaching, and they preached a woke Jesus, a different Jesus. But he says, basically this is a season, and this is why, and this is just the introduction, folks. We're at 27 minutes at this point, but 28. But this is just the introductory remarks, if you will, concerning the sermon, with things that, I think this is like the foundation aspect. And this is kind of what God is saying, what I hear him saying at this moment. Thank you, Lord. Well, we'll be right back, and I will just take a break. Welcome back. So now I'm going to be reading the book of Ezekiel, chapter 40. This is one of the, I already had this outline written out, but I had forgotten to, I think, I had forgotten to write down Ezekiel 40. Yep, I forgot to write that down. We're going to read Ezekiel 40, verses 1 to 5. Ezekiel 40. verses 1 through 5. And here's what the Lord, here's what it says. In the 25th year of our captivity, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, and the 14th year after the city was captured, on the very same day the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me there. In the visions of God, he took me into the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain. On it, toward the south, was something like the structure of a city. He took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze. He had a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand. And he stood in the gateway. And the man said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears, and fix your mind on everything I show you. For you were brought here so that I might show them to you. Declare to the house of Israel everything you see. Now there was a wall all around the outside of the temple, and the man's hand was a measuring rod, 6 cubits long, each being a cubit and a handbreadth. And he measured the width of the wall structure, 1 rod, and the height, 1 rod. We're going to go on to verse 6. Then he went to the gateway which faced east, and he went up its stairs and measured the threshold of the gateway, which was 1 rod wide, and the other threshold was 1 rod wide. Each gate chamber was 1 rod long and 1 rod wide. Between the gate chambers was a space of 5 cubits, and the threshold of the gateway by the vestibule of the inside gate were 1 rod. Oh, was 1 rod. He also measured the vestibule of the inside gate 1 rod. Then he measured the vestibule of the gateway 8 cubits, and the gateposts 2 cubits. The vestibule of the gate on the inside. In the eastern gateway were 3 gate chambers on the one side and 3 on the other. The three were also and were all the same size. Also the gate posts were of the same size on this side and that side. He measured the width of the entrance to the gateway 10 cubits, and the length of the gate 13 cubits. There was a space in front of the gate chamber, 1 cubit on this side and one cubit on that side. The gate chambers were 6 cubits on this side and 6 cubits on that side. Then he measured the gateway from the roof of 1 gate chamber to the roof of the other. The width was 25 cubits as door faces door. He measured the gateposts 60 cubits high, and the court all around the gateway extended to the gatepost. From the front of the entrance gate to the front of the vestibule of the inner court was 50 cubits. There were beveled window frames in the gate chambers and in their intervening archways on the inside of the gateway all around, and likewise in the vestibules. There were windows all around on the inside, and on each gatepost were palm trees. This is the outer court. Basically, chapter 40 of Ezekiel records the measuring of the city and the temple. Now I want to read to you, and I want to encourage you to read that in its entirety. I want to read to you Revelation chapter 11 verses 1 to 2, and it says, Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there, actually, verse 2. But leave out the courts, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Again, that's a Revelation 11, verses 1 to 2. Okay, yeah, for homework, this is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. For homework, you are to finish reading Ezekiel 40. Now, this is in Isaiah 28, verses 16 to 27. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line, and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes down, it will take you, for morning by morning it will pass over, and by day and by night it will be a terror just to understand the report. Now I want to stop there for a moment. When it is recorded in Isaiah 28 about the stone and that those that believe will not act hastily, the Lord reminded me of Matthew 16:18, where the Lord says to Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Verse 20. For the bed is too short to stretch out on, and the covering so narrow that one cannot wrap himself in it. And the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be angry as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his awesome work, and bring to pass his act, his unusual act. Now therefore do not be mockers, lest your bonds be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a destruction determined even upon the whole earth. Give ear and hear my voice, listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning the soil and breaking the clods? When he has leveled its surface, does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin plant, the wheat in rows, the barley in the appointed place, and the spelt in its place? For he instructs him in judgment. His God teaches him. For the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin, but the black cumin is beaten out of a stick, and the cumin with a rod. For homework, originally I thought that the Lord was going to have me read it, but for homework I want you to read Haggai chapter 1, I think it is. Oh yeah, actually he does want me to read it, okay. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, Haggai chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts. Now listen up, leaders. This is me. This is anyone that's called into ministry. Listen up, body of Christ. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. And the people in this day obeyed. It goes on to say that they obeyed now. But I'm just going off of, I haven't read all of myself, I haven't read all of John Bevere's books, but based off of what I felt from the Lord reminded me of what he had told John Bevere, and he said, I have given my people only a thimbleful of glory. And to test them to see what they are to do with what they will do with it. And, you know, are we going to market it? You know, and the Lord said, I have commissioned you, son. This is a prophecy directly to John Bevere. The Lord said, I have commissioned you, son, to write a book about what I have told you, says the Lord. That's what I hear him saying. And the Lord says, this will be greater than any book you have ever written, says the Lord. Wow. The Lord says, you are the Haggai of this generation, says the Lord of hosts. Behold, I have sent reinforcements already to help you do this, says the Lord. Behold, I will cause Messenger International to produce many skits that will go along with this book, says the Lord. And behold, your source material for the courses shall be great, says the Lord. The Lord says, I am going to cause you to do this before the presidential elections, and behold, because my people must hear it before then, you will write with supernatural speed. That's what I heard the Lord say. And the Lord says, this has nothing to do with politics, but my kingdom purposes, says the Lord. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, says the Lord. And surely it will come to pass, whether you like it or not. And I hear the question, do you want to obey me still, my son, says the Lord, no matter where I take you?
Wow.
Thank you, Lord. Now, we all know, I feel from the Holy Spirit not to okay, actually, let's go to Isaiah 46, verse 10. I want to go from verse 10 to, I think, 13. But we'll just, all right. It says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. I want to stop for a minute. I did hear the Holy Spirit saying that this book that he has commissioned John Bevere to write will still yet not have any political topics. They'll be like previous books. They'll be like, you know, they'll be just along the same theological lines as what was written previously, if you will. The Holy Spirit asks that you help me, or that you would communicate, pour out your grace, Lord, upon this podcast, so that anything that I do not communicate correctly, you would help the people understand what I'm saying, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, verse 12. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, who are far from righteousness. I bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Now, excuse me, Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. And I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive. That's the final scripture for this teaching. Now, for the final segment of this podcast, and for the final part of this video, I'm going to read to you the devotional and the mission that Jonathan Cahn wrote in this specific day's devotional. God bless. I'm waiting for my brown note to reset. But, just so I can connect it to my phone. That's kind of how I, anyway, navigate my phone. But while we're waiting, on the break, I asked the Lord concerning the prophecy that he led me to write to say concerning John Bevere. And he said, in the beginning, the feeling I get is in the beginning when he shows, when, you know, on like the introductory remarks, so to speak, he's going to mention, I feel from the Lord, what God had showed him concerning that book. And that's going to be where there will be talk about election and things like that. But as it relates to the teaching, nothing's going to change. It's still going to just be explicitly, the Lord says, for I have called him, I have called John Bevere and Messenger International to herald the message of my holiness, says the Lord. It's not either or, but both and. And what he means by that is, it's not just always talking about the American church, like the book, the letter to the American church and things like that. It's not just about that. Or talk of political, you know, the cultural issues and the political, you know, like people like Lance Wall now, or even sometimes myself, or Apostle Tim Sheets, he says, but it's not either or, like them or people like John Bevere, he says, but I need both in order to herald the whole of, you know, the whole teaching of the kingdom of God. It's basically what he's saying. And I think that's, too, that's why he sometimes will have me speak politically in things, into issues, but then other times it'll just be more on the fear of the Lord. Because I don't want to be an extremist where I'll just do one thing or the other. I want to preach the whole Bible, and I want to preach it the way God wants it to be preached. And so that's why, you know, from the feeling I'm getting is we can't look down on another because they're not doing things the way we think they ought to do them. So, with that said, my brown notes reset. So, I'm going to read to you now I'm gonna read, and then I'm gonna seal this in prayer. I'm going to read to you the devotional part. So here's what Jonathan Kahn wrote on the introduction part. It says, he brought me into the chamber of measures, into a tall wooden cabinet attached to the wall in front of which we both stood. It had to be at least 8 feet high. Open it, said the teacher. So I did. Inside the cabinet, leaning against its back wall, were several wood-like objects, almost as tall as the cabinet itself. At the bottom of the cabinet were cords and poles of various lengths. Measuring rods, he said, and measuring lines. They were used as rulers and tape measures are used today. Hold on. There might have been something I missed, but he removed one of them and gave it to me to hold. But they weren't only used by men, he said. They were used by angels. The prophets Ezekiel and Zechariah each saw an angel hold a measuring rod or linen in his hand. In each case, the angel of the with the measuring vessel was a sign concerning God's prophetic purposes, namely the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple. Side note, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are part of a holy city, which I forgot to read this last passage, I think. We are a part of the holy city, Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, which will descend out of heaven. So, although we are not Israel, we are grafted into that branch, which is why I mentioned that. It says, but God's prophetic purposes not only rebuild building materials, but events of human history. For Jerusalem to be rebuilt, events had to form to the measurements of angels. And in modern times, I said, Israel was restored again, according to the biblical prophecy. Yes, said the teacher. And in order for those prophecies to come true, world history and the lives and actions of individuals around the world had to all work together, acting, reacting, and interacting one upon another at the exact place and time for the plans of God and the measurements of angels to be fulfilled. You see, there exists a plan of precise measurements, not only for the construction of temples, but for human history and for your life. And even a world that wars against his purposes will, in the end, conform to the angelic measurements. He will use all things of this world and of its history, the good, the bad, the godly, and the ungodly, to bring about the fulfillment of his purposes. So whenever things appear out of control and you're tempted to fear, be at peace. Just remember this rod. It is a sign to you, in the end, every evil will be overcome. Every purpose of God will be fulfilled. The good will prevail, and the history of this world and of our lives will conform to the plans of heaven and to the precise dimensions set forth by the angelic measuring rod.
Hi, Pipe.
Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry, your podcast is
here. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Did I mess it up?
No, a little bit, but no, it's all right.
Okay, I'm gonna shut this door.
Okay. We good. Okay. So,
that's
in your way.
So what?
I was talking on the podcast. You're good. So the mission says, take the word of God today and follow its exact measurements and specifications, and you will walk into the exact dimensions of God's will for your life. Now, I'm going to reword that. Take the word of God today and in this season and follow its exact measurements. You know, we as the body of Christ, I mean, we as the ministers have to find out what the measurements and specifications are that we need to walk in. so that we as the body of Christ can come into the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ and come into the unity of the Spirit. And therefore, we will walk into the exact dimensions of God's will for the church. Therefore, we will be washed by the water of the Word, and we will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for the whole body of Christ. That is what God is calling us to do in this hour. That is what God is inviting His church to do. And this is kind of, in a way, part two to the sermon on the rebirth of the church. I think this is a season. I'm not sure how God's going to do this. You know, yesterday I was listening to Isaiah Saldivar on episode 6 of the Revival Lifestyle with Isaiah Saldivar podcast. He was interviewing Apostle Ryan LaStrange. And you can find this on Spotify, basically. You can find it wherever you find your podcasts. And he said something about how pastors need to ask God what the new thing is that He's doing in this hour. And so I just asked the Lord, you know, what is the new thing that you're doing? And as I was praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit reminded me of this devotional. And actually, I had been having that in my heart a little bit even before that, but it was like it was confirmed when I asked Him this question, what are you doing right now? And he commissioned me, or He told me, to put this sermon together, to put this devotional together and to release it. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the Word of God, the prophetic Word which has been given today, Father. Father God, I thank You for the anointing of Samuel, which has been released, Lord, in this podcast, that not one word will fall to the ground. Father, I even sense that regardless of, you know, who listens to it, you know, John Bevere and all that, that Father God, the words will be given to the leaders that need to receive them, Father. I thank You, Lord, for the high-ranking angels that are officers of the courts of heaven, that are being sent, that have been sent out, or that You are sending them out at this time. And they are fulfilling the verdicts rendered in the court, or they are fulfilling the verdicts, and they are giving messages out. Messenger angels and things are giving messages out to leaders and the body of Christ who need to hear them. So, Father, I don't expect or believe that everyone in the body of Christ is going to hear this podcast, but I release this in the spirit realm, as I feel like You're leading me to do. I release this message into the spirit realm, as I did last Tuesday, and out to Your church, that, Father, the prophets who have more influence as far as it relates to following things like that than I do, the prophets and the leaders and those that You have called it to, Lord, they're gonna release this in a different but yet greater, well, just in a different way, Lord. Father, I thank You for this in Jesus' name. I thank You for Jonathan Kahn in this book, on the Book of Mysteries. I thank You for the obedience and the faith that he has in You, Father. That in his own way, he continues in the priesthood as a descendant of Aaron. Father, I thank You for the intercession of Jesus Christ as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And Lord, let Your will be done. Let Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all very, very much for listening to this podcast. Thank you very much for, I apologize for the background noise. My grandma had forgotten that I was doing a podcast. But thank you all very much for listening, and if you would like to, I would encourage you to get John Bevere's books. I sense right now that he is a watchman in this hour, and he is going to be one of the people that herald the holiness of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. Also, I would encourage you to pick up a copy of The Power of Consecration by Jeremiah Johnson. He is another person who is rebuilding, helping rebuild the altar of the Lord, and helping bring the body of Christ, or to prepare the bride to get herself ready. If you're a lukewarm Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Revelation 3, he said, "I wish that you were hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth." And so I would encourage you, today is the day to come back to Christ. Today is the day to say, "I'm going to dedicate myself wholly unto God." And if it means I can't watch certain TV shows, if it means there's certain things that I can't do, then ultimately I just won't do those. If it's something that Jesus doesn't want me to, or wouldn't watch, that I would not watch with him sitting there next to me, then I won't watch it, because I do have the Holy Spirit inside of me. And so I just want to thank you all very much for listening to this. And also, you can go to www.stormministries.com, StormMinistries.com, and hit contact on your way there to the contact link, so to speak. On the homepage, they have a Help Our Cause heading, and down below that, you can donate. All donations go to the Homeless Alliance and to our church, to the furtherance of the gospel. You can also write to Putt J., P.O. Box 7293, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73013. Again, that's Putt J., P.O. Box 7293, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73013. You can also email us at kingdomadvancement252, KINGDOMADVANCEMENT 252, @gmail.com. To find out more about our ministry, you can just type in on YouTube. Vision statement and prayer for 2024, I think is what it's called. And then type in @designedforvictory. One word, no capitals. @designedforvictory. On YouTube. You could probably find it on the podcast, but my advice would be to find it on YouTube. But thank you all very much for listening, and we will see you next time. God bless. I totally forgot that, and I had already mentioned it too once, or no, twice rather, but I forgot to read Revelation, and I'm just going to sit down. This is the final scripture, but Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 to 21. It dawned on me as I was screen recording, so I don't know what the original Book of Mysteries mentions, but I felt that I needed to read the whole thing. Then one of the angels, who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the east. Now the wall on the city had 12 dimensions, and on them were the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. Well, it should be walls, but the city is made out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 141 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth topaz, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the streets of the city was pure gold. It was pure gold, like transparent glass. Now, the Lord also had given me another scripture. I'm just going to read this in the New Living Translation. It's Isaiah chapter 35. Even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing with joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel on the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing with joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where desert jackals once lived. And a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be known the highway of holiness. Even evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beasts. There will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. Now, with this said, with this final scripture, Father, I again seal this word. I ask that you would confirm your word with signs and wonders following, that, and Lord, I thus release this whole podcast with these added scriptures, Lord, to the church, Lord, that the way you want it heard, it will be heard, Lord. Even to the to those that don't listen to it, Lord. In Jesus' name. However I said it the first time, Lord, I thank you that your word does not return void. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I just wanted to add that one scripture, and then I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to that other one. So, thank you all very much once again. God bless.